Welcome to the global edition of our Net Group Investments quarterly highlights, where we profile some of the interesting takeouts from our recent fund manager workshop with our global best of breed managers. To hear the full fund manager presentations or for more information about our funds, visit the Net Group Investments website or access more of our content via LinkedIn, YouTube, and podcast channels. In this episode, we explore a global equity manager's bullish stance on healthcare. We highlight the attractiveness of the residential rental market. We then discuss a few standout emerging market stocks. We delve into AI's impact on stock markets and uncover attractive growth stocks with the behavioral finance portfolio manager. Mike Moore, Global Equity Portfolio Manager, sheds light on why he is bullish on the healthcare sector.
An area where we do think there is real opportunity, and one that's been sort of impacted over the last sort of quarter, is actually healthcare, where we have 25% of the portfolio. And in terms of the near-term headwinds there, we think many of them are transitory in nature. So for example, post-COVID roll-off in demand for services such as diagnostics and testing, there have been supply constraints, e.g. semiconductors being put into medical equipment that have caused sort of supply issues and knock-on effects in terms of demand. There have also been R&D constraints in the biotechnology sector that have come about, for example, from the kind of the Silicon Valley issues that we've seen in terms of funding there. And so there have been a sort of myriad of sort of, I'd say, short-term issues that are impacting. And then on top of that, you've had what we define as kind of the uneven recovery in procedures, elective specifically. And that has been driven by obviously the overwhelming sort of demand and sort of hiatus in sort of medical services that COVID brought about. And that is something that we see broadly across geographies as well. And so when we're looking at it, we're looking at kind of the healthcare sort of subsector. And in terms of the chart on the right, you've got healthcare equipment and supplies and life sciences. And this is the premium to the MSCI World Index, so the premium in valuation. They typically have always had a premium. And that has been driven by the quality characteristics of the index, high regulation, high market shares, structural growth opportunities. But for life sciences in particular, over the last 12 to 18 months, that premium has diminished. And so we do think that you can make analogies towards the aerospace industry, which saw an uneven recovery, but is seeing significant benefits now. And also, even if you look back to the tech industry last year. So one of the things I would say is the sentiment can change quite rapidly. And so when we look to it, we look for the long-term opportunity. And we think the structural opportunities are still very much in place. So, for example, post-COVID escalation in development of biologics, that's basically making drugs from living tissue, that is going to be a key driver. So areas such as autoimmune illnesses are going to be able to be treated much more effectively with those sorts of approaches. To also gene therapy, which can actually help with very many rare illnesses, but afflict actually potentially tens of millions of people when you aggregate it across the planet. Lifestyle diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, and myopia are all becoming more prevalent. And that's as a factor of kind of lifestyle changes that we all collectively are making. And then finally, you've got value-based healthcare, which is trying to lower cost of health provision as populations age. And that includes things like monitoring things like blood pressure, for example, and so that you can take sort of very sort of low-cost sort of management treatments rather than end up in a negative situation for the customer and the patient, and actually one that costs the health services that much more. So we think those long-term opportunities are still very relevant. And then actually the IRRs today we're being offered are some of the highest in our prospective set. So we're still very confident in healthcare.
Robert Promasal, Global Property Portfolio Manager, talks us through why the residential rental market is so attractive.
And I just wanted to reiterate how attractive we find the rental market to be in the U.S., in part because the hurdle to home ownership has increased considerably as mortgage rates have more than doubled. But we've also seen a reduction in single-family construction. That's grown a little bit less. We are monitoring the supply situation in multifamily in the Sun Belt, where we have very limited, very, very limited exposure. And then I'd say that the bottom left chart is really important. It shows affordability. And you can just see how much more attractive it is to rent today than it is to purchase, given some of the affordability challenges.
U.S. equities spiked in quarter two as technology stocks rose on the wave of interest in AI. Stephen Romek shares his views on AI and its potential exposure in his portfolio.
Artificial intelligence will change, you know, the way we do a lot of things. One well-known tech CEO has suggested that its development will be as significant as harnessing electricity. We'll fall somewhere between the harnessing of electricity and the creation of the internet. I don't know exactly, you know, the magnitude, you know, it will have and when it will have it, but it is going to be significant. And there will only be a handful of companies that are going to be likely be successful with these large language models, these LLMs. As success in LLM will require billions and billions of dollars of investment, and not that many companies have the kind of cash flow balance sheets to support that, let alone the tech know-how to develop that. However, there will be many more companies that will be beneficiaries as AI users. And that's kind of where we're thinking about it, you know, as well. We already seen its impact. Mining existing large data sets will allow some companies to monetize, you know, their intellectual property that they may have developed over many, many decades, but not have been able to really synthesize in a way that they can bring it to market and take advantage of that IP. It will allow other companies to bring products to market more quickly. Take biotech companies, for example, where laboratory bench strength has already increased geometrically through its use of AI. I even edit my shareholder letters now using an AI-based, you know, app called Grammarly. Now, we own Google, Meta, and Amazon, you know, companies that have already made tremendous investments in AI. But we also own companies that will benefit from using AI. Maybe it's AIG, you know, the insurance company improving their pricing of risk, or CarMax mining what is the largest data set of used cars. It's something we are watching closely, but are far from expert in and seeking opportunity.
In the last quarter, emerging market equities lagged behind developed markets. The tension between the U.S. and China and China's slow economic recovery were contributing factors. However, Brian Coffey, an emerging markets portfolio manager, shares insights on where he identified value.
India was a positive contributor. Two of our often main sheet positive contributors show up here. Max Healthcare is a hospital provider in and around the Delhi area, increasing complexity of operations, expanding capacity, and a better mix within its customer base is the main driver for Max Healthcare. And it was a strong contributor in Q2. Varun Beverages is the Pepsi bottler in India. And again, that's another story of increasing the product offering and strong growth, delivering strong returns for investors. The final name is OPAP, which is a Greek lottery operator. It also runs sports betting in Greece. Greece has held up particularly well in the past 2 years. Strong money numbers have been the main driver there. OPAP has done particularly well throughout the period and continues to deliver strong returns.
William Patterson uses a behavioral strategy that incorporates CEO, analyst, and investor behavior to identify opportunities in the market. He highlights some of the interesting growth stocks he has been adding to his portfolio using this strategy.
The re-emergence of interesting growth opportunities driven by analysts underestimating the potential for surprise. And we've sort of been seeing this sort of for the last 3 to 6 months in particular. And in terms of the last 3 months, some of the stocks we've bought in the portfolio, which have been driven by analyst behavior and will look like growth stocks to most people, have come from a range of sectors. So at the moment, it's quite hard to pin down any particular themes around that. But at an individual stock level, and everything for us is driven by what we see at a stock level, you have a range of different companies, something like Ashtead, which is it's a UK-based company, but the majority of its revenues are from the US. It's the second largest rental company in the world, providing diggers and construction equipment to people around the world. And they're on a long-term path for growth as people, as their customers increasingly don't want to own expensive bits of kit themselves, and they would rather rent them from the people who provide that kit. From an analyst behavior point of view, they tend to underestimate the scope of that shift from owning to renting. Analysts tend to worry about a sort of recession always being around the corner, and the evidence is the business has become less cyclical And therefore, it appears to us to have better long-term prospects, and they tend to be less cyclically influenced. So it's a sort of perfect example of analysts not really appreciating the way their landscape is shifting. So that's quite a particular company. Bombardier is another example of an interesting growth company, which is the Canadian business, which has reconfigured itself over the last few years, dealing with a sort of rather traumatic COVID, post-COVID world, and is now focused much more on its civil airline business, making basically largish private jets. And so they've simplified the business. Supply demand is quite favorable because they now dominate that part of the market. The competition is relatively low. And one of the consequences of the pandemic is that a lot more people are prepared to travel in private jets because it's more convenient. Some people own them, most people rent them. But the analysts, I think, are struggling to work out what the prospects really are for Bombardier. But the way we look at it is a company that's restructured itself in a sensible way. They are growing faster than expected. And it looks to us as though analysts will continue to underestimate the growth going forwards over the next year. So it's a completely different stock to Ashtead. Microsoft will be a stock that everyone knows. It's obviously a very large company now. It's had its issues in the last 12 to 18 months as it's, I think, adapted to a slightly lower rate of growth compared to previous expectations as we've gone through that COVID boom and bust. And what appears to be happening now and what the analysts appear to be underestimating is the slow shift from the very large businesses to want to have basically one solution provider for all their problems, rather than the feeling two or three years ago was that many enterprise companies would want to have the best of this and the best of that. Whereas it appears that now most companies just want one provider with huge critical mass to provide all their solutions in one place. And so that is leading to an improvement in the outlook for companies like Microsoft, who have, as we all know, a very dominant position in their technological field.
You can access more information about all the fund manager workshops at netgroupinvestments.com, YouTube, or through our podcast channels on all major platforms. This has been your NetGroup Investments quarterly briefing. Make sure to check back at the end of October for our next edition.